your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah!
Crushed it."
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravella, and today I am with the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Sauer, CCIM. He's got an incredible background, author of the book, Commercial Real Estate Investing, which just came out July 27th, so make sure you get it on Amazon. He's the CEO of the Commercial Investors Group and the host of the Creative Commercial Real Estate Podcast. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty fantastic, and I'm getting even better. Thanks for having me on the show.
Two Mikes is trying to take over the world, one commercial property at a time, right?
That's right, Mike Squared. Team Mike.
The Mike and Mike show today. But yeah, just wanted to touch base. And you know, an extensive career, amazing work, obviously with the CCIM designation, but an author, I guess. What, you know, with that book, why did you decide to write a book? Like, what was their inspiration for that book, and where has it led to?
Sure. That's a great question, Mike. The book really started as me. So I was flipping houses, and I was a contractor for over a decade. And I ended up getting out of the construction business, and that's when I started doing commercial. And I found that it's a little different at commercial. There's not a lot of gurus out there teaching it. Maybe there's some apartment syndicators and things like that, but like office, warehouse, nobody was really teaching that stuff, and still isn't. And so I also found that it's kind of a good old boys network, and it was a little bit harder to kind of get advice out of people, find a mentor and stuff like that. So I actually started my podcast initially to just start getting secrets out of people, and covered all the secrets through the podcast, to be honest with you. And so I was taking these pieces of information I was getting out of the podcast, and then I was going and applying them, and I was kind of taking my house flipping system and modifying that for commercial and filling in the gaps. And I started doing boot camps, and I've always, I've been coaching and mentoring other investors for a long period of time. I think my first coaching student was in 2005. And so I've been doing it for a while now. And as I started to transition more and more into commercial, I realized how much more fun, how much more exciting it could be. And the reason I started writing the book is because I really wanted to force myself to think through my system and my strategy and fill in all the gaps, because it's one thing to be able to go out and do something. It's another thing to be able to try and explain it to somebody in words. And it's a whole different world to try and actually sit down, write it out, make the diagrams, and build the book. And so I was kind of killing two birds with one stone. One is I was fulfilling a lifelong dream that I've had about publishing a book. And the second thing I was doing was really forcing myself to think through my system and make it the best system it could possibly be.
There's a lot to unpack in that piece, because I'm sure with the flipping, the evolution of the flipping business into the commercial real estate side, I had two single families before going full time into commercial. It allows you to really specialize and do what you're really, really good at, because it takes an entire team to anchor it. Versus in flipping, you kind of can inherit job after job. It comes and goes, and it's just like, it can be a very big pain point. And so sure. I'm sure that evolution from flipping to the construction, it's just like, why don't I just do this one thing I'm really, really good at? But then too, I nerd out on the systems piece. And so it reminded me of the E-Myth, in which you're, hey, this is my entire blueprint and how I do it from A to Z, the franchisable model, where I can continue to just be at the top. And all the systems kind of flow underneath. So it's like it's a two bird, one stone, and just really evolving into that process.
Sure. Did I tell you that we were franchising our company or no?
We didn't get there yet, but that's a
good not too many people know that. We've been kind of keeping it a secret, but yeah, we're registering in a lot of the states right now to franchise our business in other major markets.
Yeah, it definitely. I think of Gary Keller and listening to Tim Ferriss' podcast and eMyth. It's just that franchisable, replicatable model, and so that's kind of just going through that aspect and just your story. It just sounds like, well, how do I do this every single time? And sure. Even on our side of the business, for the asset management and acquisitions, we do looms to record on how we pull certain reports. So then it's not, how do I pull this report every time? So then you're saving the time in that task as well. So that's sure. A big piece. What's your biggest advice for someone who wants to eventually write it? Because I'm more selfishly curious because I want to write a book on asset management. So what's helped you write the book?
Let's talk about the book writing process. My tip would be hire a company to help you do it. Look, the book industry has changed fundamentally, right? Back in the day, everybody thinks like you got to be found to be an author. And the reality is there's a difference between being a writer and an author. A writer is somebody who writes professionally, and those people actually get paid to write. An author is somebody who's really, really good in their career and actually is an expert and has something to teach and just authors a book. Like they don't write to make money. Like I'm probably going to lose money on my book. And people told me I was nuts for actually basically giving away my exact business model. Like there's nothing that I held out of there. And I just told people, it was like, look, at some point your scoreboard's got to change from how many deals you can do and how many zeros you can put up on the board to like how many people you can help achieve financial freedom. Because to me, somebody being like, Mike, like I had this one student, the dude made $300,000 on his first deal, was crushing it.
It's a good number, a little number.
Yeah, $300,000 on a quick flip, literally in like a month's time. And it was a game changer for him. So that level of fulfillment means more to me than any paycheck. Like I got more fulfillment out of that than cashing a 7-figure check. Now, my advice to you as an author is to really understand that there is a difference between trying to be a writer and trying to be an author. To be an author, you got a few different options. You can basically start writing your book. You can put together a snippet and you can send it out to a bunch of people. I actually tried that. Like I tried to get BiggerPockets Publishing to publish my book. They turned me down. I tried to get several other outfits to publish my book. And ultimately at the end of the day, the game has kind of changed out there. What you want to do is you want to find a company that will kind of help you project manage the whole thing. Cause there's a ton of stuff going on. Like I wrote my book in 3 months. I edited my book over 12 months. And it was like, once I got done with all that, I was like, all right, we're ready to go. And they're like, great. Now we're at step 3 of 8. So it is literally like
a marathon.
if you set out to write a book, you have to make a decision to finish. Like it's all about finishing. Otherwise, all of that is for nothing. But if you finish, it's going to be like basically like bicycling a mile long hill that's a 45 degree angle in first gear. That moment I first held the book in my hand, it was just so fulfilling. And now it's all the other things that come out of it is like, you know, like that book's going to live forever because I was very deliberate about writing the system so that it was evergreen. Because yeah. These are not concepts that are necessarily new. What's new is the way I assembled them, because there's a lot of concept books out there, like Rich Dad Poor Dad, for example. One of the best books. Like I would not be a real estate investor today if it wasn't for that book. That book got me excited and repositioned my mind about that concept. What a lot of those really good books don't do though, is they don't show you where to get started. They don't say like, okay, go do A, then do B, then do C. And so I not only wrote my book for the investor who wants to get started on their very first deal, but I wrote my book to basically teach the people I was hiring on my team how to do what I wanted them to do. So it had to be very, very specific, like go do this, here's your homework. Then you do this, then there's your homework after that. And that's how I wrote my book and assembled the concepts in that way.
Yeah. How did you get hard keeping it evergreen while very specific at the same time?
Yeah, you had to find this blend. Look, the marketing strategy is evergreen. Now, within that strategy, you're going to constantly be changing and tweaking to whatever's happening in the market. Like if we continue going more and more digital, I'm going to put more money into paid ads rather than doing traditional methods. If everybody in my market reads my book and starts doing the same direct marketing as me with the same piece that I put in my book, I'm going to have to shift gears there. But it doesn't mean that direct marketing is not going to work. It just means you have to shift within that. And the way you analyze deals has been the same way people have been analyzing deals to buy businesses, which buying a piece of real estate is really just buying a business, right? And people have been doing that for hundreds of years. So nothing's crazy there. And the same thing with funding. People have been partnering with other people to fund acquisitions for centuries. And so that's going to continue being the way to do it. I don't see any major changes there. So apart from like little softwares and like, I didn't go into like, hey, go buy this software, go do that. It's more like, hey, here's what you're trying to do. Now go figure out what's the best software in order to do that.
Exactly. No, that's perfect. And so with that book, how has your business evolved from, you know, before we talked prior to it evolving into bigger things? So how has your business evolved since the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first off, the book just launched on July 27th. I feel incredibly honored and blessed to be surrounded by a really great publishing team.
First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Because that's not many people can say they've done that. So that's truly remarkable.
Yeah. Thank you. And like, so I got an awesome publishing team. I think like Gaila got me on this show here. And really that team, I honestly wouldn't have finished without them. And so, how has my business evolved? We hit Amazon number one bestseller. So credibility with investors, credibility with people that are coaching students of mine, or my ability to gain coaching students, I think all of that's going to be amplified. Like I'm finding there's just a lot more conversations are revolving around a system that everybody's already read. So instead of like covering all the same stuff now with my coaching students, it's like I've given them 90% of what I have to tell them in the book. And now we can really focus on the things that are fun on my weekly coaching calls. Like, hey, who's got a deal? Like, let's figure out what are the pieces that are missing, and then being able to take the tangible aspects of that. So long story short is the book helped me rewrite my coaching system. And now we're taking on new students in other major markets that are looking to basically take this system and go do their first deal.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I heard Joe Fairless at a conference speak about it. Of people hear my podcast every day, whether I'm not talking to them, but they're listening to me every single day. And I think the book is a great resource to just see the ideology going through that journey. Everyone who picks up that book has picked it up for a reason. So it allows them to help navigate their journey and their real estate investing journey. So I think it's just a very powerful piece to it.
Yeah. And that is kind of what has made the difference. In the past, I went looking for students. Now they come to me. They find me on the podcast, or they've read my book, and then they're hunting me down. I'm getting discovery calls booked every week for people that I've never met that are like, hey, I listened to your podcast, or I found your YouTube, or I read your book.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's super. I mean, anyone on the marketing side is just, that omnipresence is just an incredible piece of just as you scale each aspect of the podcast, the book, and each avenue you go down, it allows you to just amplify your business even more. So that's super powerful.
But I want to be clear, right? I didn't set out to do the podcast, write the book, or do a YouTube channel with the intent of like building a coaching business for profit.
Yeah.
Right. The vast majority of my wealth from my investing business. And it's those different mediums that allow me to stay fresh. And I get like, you talk about like the zone of genius, right? Each person kind of has like these specific things that they're really good at. You alluded to it prior to the show, like really specialized in one area and doing things like that combination of like, what are you good at? what do you enjoy doing and what are you able to monetize, and where all of those kind of cross together and align with your vision. Like for me, that's content creation. Like when I'm doing podcasts, whether I'm interviewing someone else or they're interviewing me, like I just genuinely enjoy talking about this stuff. And so for me, it's really not about the money. That's kind of more a result, but the goal and the driving factor is just really having really cool conversations with great people and learning from that, because I'm continuing to learn every single day.
Yeah, it's the scaling up of like building one sustainable tower of you know, of your business and keeping it fun, right? Your investing business has grown and scaled as well. But I think it's just, it's the marketing. It just keeps it fresh, and there's new verticals that happen and come out. Like I know us on the property management side, you told us 3 years ago we're having an internal flooring company, we would have been like, no way in hell. But now it's just like, oh, because of this and we have enough people, it allows us to amplify our business. So it's just those different verticals that just come out.
Sure.
Like you said, refreshes, more entertainment on top of like fun of just constantly learning every day, which is the beauty of real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I think one thing that was too, we were talking before the show, is like focusing on single asset deals versus multiple. So what has made you evolve from that train of thought in your investing?
Well, so like I said, I started off as a contractor and a house flipper, right? And so I was remodeling projects for other people. And then I got into flipping houses. And the thing about flipping houses, I was just using cash that I had for down payment. And maybe I was getting a hard money loan or a traditional construction loan from a bank. When you get into the commercial game, you have to shift your mindset. Like one of the biggest knowledge gaps that most people will have when going from residential to commercial, I mean, there's a reason why in my book, literally the fund section of the book is the fattest of the seven steps, because that is the biggest hurdle for people to get over, to wrap your brain around how to raise equity. Like, how do you actually structure the partnerships? How do you split the profit? Like, what does the agreement look like? How do you find these people? How do you pitch them the deal? And so I started doing that. And here's the way it would go. First, you'd find the property, then you'd find the money. And what happens is, as we grew a proprietary software that allowed us to amplify our direct marketing, we started getting way more deal flow. Like on my last campaign I launched, we did 90 leads off of one campaign and got 8 properties under contract. Now, the problem is on the single asset funding model, I'm doing 8 private placement memorandums, 8 different webinars for each of those deals. I'm tracking that. And then every time a quarterly distribution comes around at the end of each quarter, I'm trying to figure out, like, property A's got investors 1, 2, and 7, property B's got investors 3, 4, and 7, you know, and there's a lot of overlap of the same repeat investors, but they're different percentages. And so it just makes it an administrative nightmare when it comes to actually administering quarterly distributions. And so we've kind of outgrown that model. And we also found out, look, it's price or terms, right? We love priding ourselves on the ability to do creative offers. We do master leases, contracts for deeds, seller carrybacks, all kinds of weird stuff to make deals work. And a lot of times you can pay more. And because of that, when we look at, okay, how can I get more aggressive on getting better prices? And the answer to that is, switch the model. Instead of finding the deal and then the funding, find the funding and then the deal. And guess what? When you're just starting off, you really can't do that, because nobody's going to invest in a blind fund with you without assets identified until you have a proven track record. And so I think that we have a solid history of being able to perform on projects and outperform our projections. And so, we're going to this, you know, multi-asset approach now, where we're actually raising a lot of money in a fund up front, and then we're able to go out and shorten our due diligence timeline because we completely eliminate the step of finding the funding after the fact. So instead of like closing on a property in 90 to 120 days, I can close on it in 60 days. And because of that, I think we're going to win more deals and we're going to get deals at a better price.
Yeah, it's efficient, more efficient on the buy, because you have the powder to take on the deal, but also, why do 8 webinars when you can do 1? I think that's right. the efficiency of it. But I think it's just important. I think you hit on a really powerful point of like, you have to make sure you have the track record and experience, because like you said, no one will take you seriously with no track record. You could be the most successful in whatever venue you have, but if you don't have experience doing X, Y, or Z, or have at least a very powerful thesis of we're targeting only these assets, and if we don't get them, then that's great. But I think it's just super powerful to have your investing thesis in a targeted area. It's like having it very concrete, but not specific, where it's like super rigid as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, the ability to get people to basically invest in a business as opposed to a property, that's really the paradigm shift, right? It's like, hey, here's my business model. Now you're going to go buy these individual stocks. Maybe you got a ton of money in the stock market. Why don't you diversify a little bit, invest in our real estate investing business. And so that's kind of the mind shift. I'm actually doing a webinar tonight to raise another $3 million is the goal for tonight's webinar.
Nice.
So look, if you're just getting started, like I feel like a lot of people in this business, they kind of throw around, you know, kind of like who's got the biggest swing and whatever, you know, here's how many units I got.
There's no egos in real estate. What do you mean?
Yeah, no. And look, I mean, like, people ask me all the time. Some people ask me to get on their show, like how many square feet or what's this? And I'm like, none of that matters. And you can't even compare A to Z, because we own most of our assets without partners. And so you might only have X square feet, but when you're keeping it all, like it makes a big difference. So at the end of the day, for me, when you look at these multi-asset funds, what's exciting about the multi-asset funds is that you can allow other people to come in and participate and diversify across multiple assets and be able to amp up and do more deals quickly because of that. But then everybody's having diversification across a rich portfolio, so that if one of your assets doesn't perform well, you know, it doesn't dramatically impact that the people who are only invested in that asset's performance, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Plus, if the experience of that is like, if one's not performing as well, the others will carry it. But then it's easier webinars to say, hey, one was doing not as well, but the other three carried it. So it's a better investor experience resident. Internal property management, you get the vernacular.
So I know what I was going to say before you move on. I was basically going to say, like, look, my very first deal that I did that was a significant deal, my first small deal, I just funded myself with proceeds from the sale of my business. But when I actually started raising capital from other people, I got denied by 10 banks, and it took me forever to raise the capital. Luckily, I had a deal that could stretch on for like 9 months. That's how long it took me to raise $525,000. So you just got to remember that, it's a grind. It's a grind when you're starting off. And I think people paint this rosy picture that it's like, if you build it, they will come. It's like, no, that's that's not true. You need to build it, and then you need to bring it to them. And you're going to have to grind really, really hard and pound the phones. Here's a little trick that I found out. Okay. Get your property owners list for your area and go get it skip traced for like your top 3 or 5,000 properties you want to target. Like, filter them down by county and maybe assess value of $1 to $2 million or something, right? And get a nice kind of your golden high priority list. And then pay a skip tracing company who's good at skip tracing businesses to get all the contact info, and then smile and dial. I mean, that's the cheapest way that you can go find off-market deals. And here's the thing. When they say no, what you do is you transition them to being a potential investor. Who better to invest in your deals than people that already own real estate? Like, you don't have to sell them on the idea of buying real estate. You just say, hey, look, well, I call a lot of property owners, and some of them are willing to sell. It sounds like your deal's going great. Like, here's an example call. You call somebody and they're like, hey, will you sell me this property? And they're like, no, it's performing great. It's like, well, that's awesome. Are you looking for other deals to invest in? And a lot of times they are. They'll be like, yeah. And it'd be like, oh, well, I'll tell you what, you want me to keep you in mind next time? I make a lot of these calls and we come across off-market opportunities. And sometimes we do joint ventures with people like yourself. And literally all you're doing is calling people. You're trying to generate deals and you're building your investors list. That way, when one finally pops, you already got 100 people to invite to your webinar to pitch the deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's how can I add value to this investor's life? Call, like, it's a very powerful, because I think, like, starting, I mean, being a CPA and being on the phone, it was just very rigid of like, well, dear broker, you have this, I want that, and just playing the game. But is it, how do I add value to the broker? How do I show that we're buying, but also like add value to their life, right? Here's a value, here's our property, it's performing, we're getting rents to here. So they walk away like, oh wow, they're doing really well in the market, but also they have like a little bit of insider secrets. I even had brokers too, like they're like, hey, what are you looking for in those panels, electrical panels on site tours? I'm like, well, there's Zinsco, Stablock, all these type of panels that are outdated. So we have to update day one. So those are the type we're looking for. So you're adding value by how, you know, they might not sell you the deal, but maybe they'll buy a different deal that's even a no for you, and you can forward it to them if they're looking in that market as well. So it's a very, that's a very powerful message that I think a lot of people leave money on the table by doing so, because it could be your favorite next investor.
Yeah.
So I think a very interesting, we talked about a little bit, is your proprietary software. So I would love to hear kind of how that became a pillar of your business that is continuing to grow and scale.
Yeah, we have tools. And I really struggled when I was developing this. I got to be honest. One day I was working at my computer and I had 13 tabs open and like six software programs. And I was, and then I counted up how much I was paying for all these things. And it was like over $4,000 a month in subscription fees to rent these softwares. And I was like, there's got to be something out there that's custom built for people that are doing value add commercial that does everything, you know, the marketing analysis, raising the money, doing the asset management. Those are kind of the four big pieces, right? And acts as a CRM. And look, the reality is that there's softwares out there that do small pieces of it well, but nothing does all of them that I have ever been able to find. I actually set out on a mission that, like, it was one of my quarterly rocks. We do the EOS. Yeah. We do traction in our company, and I set a quarterly rock. I'm like, we're finding a new software that does it all. And I turned over a lot of stones, and I looked at a lot of things. There were some really cool softwares out there that did exactly what I was looking to do. But one was, the closest one was custom built for residential. And I got on the phone with the developer, and I even tried to pay them to custom change their software so that I could use it and pay them and build their software business as a result, as we grow our coaching business, right? Like, we're looking at poised to have about 250 coaching students here by the end of next year. And that's not a huge coaching business. I know, like, Jake and Gino, you know, they're probably well beyond that. Right. But the coaching business is something that I've never scaled up before, because I had the wrong model. I was doing one-on-one coaching sessions, and it's like, well, you're kind of limited on the number of coaching students you can take when you're doing that model.
So 24 hours in a day.
yeah, right. And then it was counterintuitive to what my goal is, which is freedom of time. And that's what I'm teaching other people, but to give them freedom of time and train them how to do it, I had to give up my own time. And it just, there wasn't an alignment. So I found a way, like, hey, let me write a book. I have an online course that we just launched. That's super cool as well. And people can check that out. I mean, it's $2,500 or whatever I think we're selling it for right now, but I literally spent hundreds of hours and tens of thousands of dollars making this course that somebody can now get for a fraction of the cost of what it even cost me to make it. And it just goes really in depth on everything. Like, you want to know how to fund a deal? I got like 12 hours of me doing actual pitches. I give you the real PowerPoint, like the whole kit and caboodle. So at the end of the day, I realized that I couldn't find a software that did everything that I wanted it to do. I wanted to be able to do like multi-channel direct marketing, like email, text, ringless voicemail, direct mail, and calling campaigns. I wanted to be able to analyze the deals, not the traditional Argus or spreadsheet method, but being able to like basically project out the future value, deduct all my costs and my desired profit to back into it. Kind of like the house flippers, like max allowable offer method applied to commercial real estate. But in order to project those costs, you got to be able to estimate renovation costs. And so I built out this software. It's got like 25 different apps inside of it, but they all talk to each other. And that's the key. So like, I found an app for everything that I was doing and custom built it. I built all the all the apps. And then I paid and partnered with a software development company to integrate everything all together, APIs with counties, third-party data providers and everything. And so now you can go into our software, you can launch and schedule multi-sequence direct marketing campaigns to generate leads. When those come in, you can track all of your deals and deal pipelines in the Deals app. You can then do Deal Analyzer and analyze deals using an income or comparable sales approach for apartments and for office, warehouse, and industrial, which are more of like a per square foot. You can analyze net and gross lease and blended lease type arrangements. So you can do all that, and then it figures out exactly what you can pay, which I call the max allowable cash offer, the MACO. And then the best part, Mike, is once you're all done with that, you literally click a button and you can merge any field data into any Word document you want. Absolutely fully customizable. So I have like lease templates. So I can literally analyze a deal and click a button and it'll create a full offer package, including a credibility packet, a full purchase agreement, an offer summary letter, and it just merges all the data. So everything you're having to do before where you open like the Word doc or whatever, and you're typing out your LOI or your purchase agreement, like I get to click a button now and send that email out to people. And then we're integrating it with e-signature so that those can go out. We have, you can do pitch decks from the funding app. You can do everything that I'm doing for like presenting my deal to my investors and my lenders, like all of that is done in a very automated way now. Like I make all my assumptions, I click a button and it merges all the data to like an investor or a bank presentation. So it's super cool, man. I could geek out and talk about that for hours, but I'm not gonna. Bottom line is I struggled with, am I gonna build a software as a service company that I give to everybody, or am I gonna keep it for just commercial investors group, internal staff, the corporate location, the new franchise locations. And really I'm using that as the kind of the proprietary cornerstone of growing the investing business rather than trying to grow a software business. And it did end up going the former route. So we don't actually sell or license our software to anybody unless you're a franchise owner or involved in our commercial investing program.
Yeah. I think that's a very powerful piece of, I think like the one powerful tool I did was create the LOI tab that I did for my spreadsheet, because I always kept messing up the Word documents. So, and I think a lot of investors starting off, like they hear this idea and it sounds amazing, but I think a lot of investors also don't know the pain of seeing that many T12s rent rolls. And even with our students in the Jake and Gina community, they're like, how do I know if it's a good deal in 10 minutes? I go, well, you haven't seen any deals, so you have no idea. So you have to just go through everything and figure out and pull the levers and break it and see what you can, like what a good deal would look like at a certain price. And
right.
And I think too, the most arbitrary question that a lot of investors ask is, well, is this a good deal? Well, I think the bigger question is, what is a good deal for you? Because like what I think is a good deal, you may disagree with. And that's okay. That's the best part of investing. That's why like the beauty of it is, I may offer 60 a door, someone offers 80 a door, someone offers 100 a door. Like it's all relative on what of those investing goals are. And so it's just a very interesting thing to see. And I'm just seeing the pain of, I think it's like with any business, as you mature and grow, it's the speed of the game. And
right.
As you evolve and grow and created this powerful tool, you know, you've removed yourself from that business to really focus on how do I make this the most powerful tool that I can to help yourself, your investors, your investing group, but also your franchises. And I think it's a very powerful mission because it always ties back to the time freedom as well. So I think if anything, I think it, with your journey that I really want to hit on is you're doing all these things to help others. And it's not to internally be like, this is for me. This is just to help other people on their journey. And I think that's what I get to tell people every day is my mission is to make all my friends really wealthy and have fun doing it. So it's once I've had that paradigm, the game has been changed and it's very fun.
Yeah. And that's awesome. It's funny that you mentioned like kudos to you for like having the LOI tab. Most people never even like figure out the fact that they can put their contract into Excel and do that. Think about this though, right? When you really take a step back and you look at like everything we do is we question, is this repeatable, duplicatable, and scalable? And here's the question. What's the first thing people love to do when they get their little spreadsheets? They like to start modifying them and manipulating them, and I'm changing this and changing that, right? And so think about this, right? We're going to have 50 franchises open by the end of 2025. I got 50 franchisees all trying to have me fund their deals because we have an internal fund. Part of the reason you would buy a franchise is we partner with you on your deals. That's part of the reason I'm doing these multi-asset funds. So I raise all the capital and we partner with you. And we found a way to raise capital in a way where it makes sense for our investors and our franchisees. And look, if you got 50 franchisees all throwing around spreadsheets and passing spreadsheets around, even on like the coaching side of the business, like it's going to be extremely difficult to manage that data. And when you look at a traditional spreadsheet from like a data, like a CRM perspective, you might have one property that has five partners, and you might have one of those partners that owns 10 different properties. So like in a traditional spreadsheet, you don't have these like one to many and many to many relationships like you do in a true database. And so the power behind CRE tools is behind all of that isn't sitting like a single layer contact database. It's a robust multi-layer database where you have property data in the properties app, contact data in the contacts app, and then it's kind of like they're interrelated, but you can have one property that has five related contacts or one contact that has five related properties, whereas you can't do that in any of the other kind of traditional spreadsheet style or glorified spreadsheet style CRMs that are out there. Even cool ones that have really good stuff like ActiveCampaign is badass for doing multi-sequence emails and automated drips and stuff. We're actually still using that with some zaps out of our website in our book funnel, but it's a single layer database. You can't relate one contact to multiple other items within the system. And so there's a lot of limitations to Salesforce and a lot of these other programs that were out there. And it just wasn't really set up to do what we need to do behind the scenes.
Yeah. No, I think it's, I mean, as any entrepreneur in their venture is to solve problems and answer, and the market will let you know if it works or not. So I think the purpose and the answering these really hard questions is what's made you a successful investor. So it's very powerful seeing the mission and keep kicking ass and taking names.
Sure.
But yeah, thank you so much, Mike. Been a ton of value on the podcast and appreciate your time. What is your one investor pro tip for our listeners out there?
Get started. Seriously. You have to make a decision that you're going to do this and not quit until you get your first deal done. Like if I don't care if like you have $0, if you have a negative net worth and you're borrowing money from your friend and living at mommy's house right now, you can do this because all you need, like your commitment to do it and that decision is the most important aspect of it. And then be more focused on how much you're learning than how much you're earning for your first two or three deals, doing the asset management. Like that's where all the learning happens. The learning doesn't have, you can't learn how to ride a bike in a seminar. You can't learn how to be a superstar real estate investor by reading books. That will get you started, but you got to get out there, make a decision to do it and just take activity. And a lot of it's simple stuff. Just call property owners, make offers, figure out how to analyze deals, latch onto a system that's out there. And I think you'll see success as long as you continue with one system all the way through to the end. One of the biggest mistakes I see rookie investors making is they change their system every single month. They're going to the RIA first Tuesday of the month, and whoever the speaker is, that's the system they're doing for the next 30 days, right? And now they're wholesaling this week. Next week, they're doing, you know, shopping centers. The following week, they're doing triple net leases. Then I'm doing apartment syndication. Now I'm doing mobile home parks. It's like, just pick a system and go with it until you got some deals, get 10 grand a month in cash flow, then consider moving on to another system. Because look, all of the systems work if you just continue doing it over and over and over until you see success.
Absolutely. No true word. That's why I earlier in my career, I had to stop listening to Bigger Pockets. I know it's controversial to say, but because I was wholesaling, then I was Airbnb, land sale, like it was just like across the board. I just like a little reflect in a month. I'm like, I have four half-baked ideas that are on paper that aren't what I want. And so, yeah, I think it takes, even for me in the commercial, like telling our students, it took me 2 years to finally get traction with the brokers. And the only like the only system I had was call them every 3 weeks. When I'd call them, I'd in Asana have a reminder, 3 weeks, call. And then they're like, there's no deals. I go, perfect, I'll call you in 3 weeks. They're like, no, we'll let you know. And I'm like, I'm still gonna call you in 3 weeks. And so it's just that consistent follow-up. If you don't give up, and now it's like I've developed great rapport and relationships with these brokers that they know I'm the guy. And in the past 2 years, if you continue to build that up, that's how you just constantly get rapport, get first at bat on deals. And even with off market, you're building rapport with these owners. Hey, maybe you bring them a deal and you can JV it. So the limitations are truly endless. So it's a powerful piece to, and 0 to 1 is the hardest. And then 1 to 2 is a lot easier. Right?
For
it's like,
sure.
Because 0 to 1, you're like, oh my God, how am I going to do everything? And you're like, listen, you're not. You're going to partner with a lot of great people.
Yep.
I mean, like you said earlier, the percentage on, you know, earn, like the percentage I had on my first deal is much smaller than I have deals 3, 4, 5, 6. But the amount I've learned is insane. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, how did I do this? It's, you know, it's a momentum piece, and it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. So you have plenty of time to never give up.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So Mike, if anyone had questions and wanted to reach out to you, what are the best ways to contact you or buy the book on Amazon and your podcast?
Yeah. Well, hey, look, man, you know, saying that I wrote the book to help people out and stuff is not just something I throw around. So for your readers, what I'd like to do is just offer them an absolutely free copy
and a
PDF version. You can still go buy a soft cover version if you want, and I'll throw on shipping and handling, but I'm just going to give you a PDF version. Like I'm not going to lose money giving you a free book, but I'll give you the free PDF. I want you guys to get this system in your hands. So just go to commercialinvestingbook.com and you can claim your free copy of that. And what I'm going to do is once you throw just an email and a name in there, I'll email you a link to actually get into our backend Commercial Investors Group learning management system. And that's where you can download the book and a bunch of free resources. I have like a PDF with all 83 infographics. I have all the formulas. And then what I did is I took a lot of my best videos that are available out there, and I put those on the back end, and then I'm going to give you some free spreadsheets and other resources and stuff like that. So I really want to give you all this stuff so that you guys can go out there and see the success. So grab that. Or if you want to buy, so you can buy a soft cover version at that link after you check out to get the free PDF. It'll allow you to buy the soft cover version. Or if you prefer, you can go on Amazon, you can buy it there. Just make sure you come back to the website to get your free resources after you buy it. There's a link in the introduction of the book that will show you where to go for the free resources to get in that. You want that back-end access either way. And if you just go to Amazon, type in my name, Mike Sowers, that's S-O-W-E-R-S, or type in commercial real estate investing, you should be able to find it. The subtitle's a step-by-step guide to finding and funding your first deal.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for providing a ton of value to all of our listeners, and definitely going to grab a copy of the book and appreciate it. And if anyone has any questions for me or any other comments, please reach out to me at miket@randcre.com. Until then, we will see you next week.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Yep. Bye.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com, CP43926 7V1.